It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast of Torso. This is Wednesday, the 26th of April. May God bless you. It's time to have our opening prayer by my wife, Undreamed Of, at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to come together for prayer and worship. We ask that you will help us as the word is spoken today to be able to hear from you, Lord. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, help us to grow in grace and in wisdom as we draw nigh to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Amen. It's about time. Our topic today is, why are there so many churches? Why are there so many churches? Let's pray. Dear Father, as we discuss why there are so many churches, and what we mean by that is different church denominations and church beliefs, why is that so? We pray that you will lead us and guide us, that we will find truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're starting in 2 Peter 1, starting with verse 19. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." So Peter was saying to them, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You will do well if you listen, because it's like a light that shines in a dark place. So let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Anybody can be saved no matter where they are if they will take hold of the word. So even if you're in a dark place, there's light that's coming, my friend. Think about Mary Magdalene, 7 devils. Think about people possessed with the devil. They were in darkness, brothers and sisters. Have you ever been in a dark place? Well, God has light for you. And guess what that light is? It is his word. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it says, until the day dawn, the day star arise in your heart. You see, my brothers and sisters, Peter is trying to help us understand that we need a change of heart. We need to be truly converted. When you are truly converted, the peace of God just is in your life, and he flows out through your being. And all you want to do is serve him and hasten his return. If you haven't got that passion, then you may not have been converted. Ask God, Lord, I want that passion. I want to be converted. You want a change of heart, my brothers and sisters. Now, I didn't say a change of dress, although a change of heart will produce a change of dress. Notice I didn't say a change of diet, although a change of heart will produce a change of diet. Notice I didn't say a change of manners, although a change of heart will produce a change of manners. My brothers and sisters, I didn't say a change of habits, although a change of heart will produce a change of habit. It all starts with your reception of the word. And even if you're in a dark place, God's word can come. And then eventually, if you receive it and don't reject it, there's going to be a work, the day dawn in your heart. So what does that day dawn in your heart mean? I may not have this scripture in my mind, where it's found, but I think it's in Proverbs chapter 4. Let's see if I can find it. Watch this. Verse 18, Pat 4:18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Remember, it says, as until the day dawn, okay? We have a more sure word of prophecy that you do well, that you take heed until, and then, let me get it right. Okay, going back, it says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. So notice, the path of the just is as a shining light which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, but if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted. You see, if your heart is willing to receive Christ, no matter where you are, no matter how dark it is, no matter what circumstances, no matter who your parents were and who your parents weren't, you can be converted, my brothers and sisters. And in your own sphere, with your own personality, based upon your own educational background, you're going to speak for God and serve him in your own special way. But it is a process. The dawning of the day, it just doesn't, like midnight and boom, it's 12 noon. No, the path of the just is as a shining light which shineth more and more. So Peter is here helping them understand the day star would arise in their heart. It would be a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawn. Okay. So God is so wonderful, my brothers and sisters. You might be dark, but then there comes a day dawn, and then the day star arise in your heart. It's a process, okay? Peter is understanding that. But then he says, and we just learned that the path of the just, those who are righteous, is as a shining light which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You will be where God wants you to be if you don't reject him. Now, you can neglect him or reject him, and it has the same effect, okay? So if you are neglecting his word because you're spending so much time with Hollywood and what they have to produce, that is the same as rejecting his word if it comes to you. And friends, we need to spend time with God. We need to pray more, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you're always on your knees, but you're in an attitude of prayer. You're constantly communing with God. Lord, what should I do? How should I handle this? What should I say? I want to praise you. I want to thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you've been so good to me. You know, just pouring forth praises, looking at things differently. Instead of complaining because the glass is half empty, you'll be praising God that the glass is half full. And there's so much to rejoice over. You have a house to live in. If you're listening to this broadcast, you're in a house. You probably aren't under a bridge sleeping somewhere because they don't probably have can't afford cell phones, okay? So you have a lot to be thankful for. So it says, knowing this first, verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. This answers the question, why are there so many churches? It is because people have pride, and they don't want to say, you know, I'm wrong, and so they have to build a doctrinal system for their denomination that is based on private interpretation. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, to a greater or lesser degree, every major denomination has done this, okay? God is going to have a people. It might not even be a large denomination, because all of them, to a greater or lesser degree, have, with private interpretation, twisted the Scriptures, friends. One of the most recent twistings of Scripture is the teaching prevalent even in Sabbath-keeping churches that you can't overcome sin. You can't be perfect. Where Jesus said, be ye also perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So the devil twists that to say that you go around claiming, I'm the sinless one. It didn't say that, but it said, be ye also perfect. You see, when you are living in peace, in obedience with God, God calls that perfection, friends. That doesn't mean he doesn't have more to share, and you can be perfect in your sphere. You may not even know there are things that are in your life that ought not be. God does not hold that to your account, but he will teach you. Acts 17, verse 30, it says, but God winks at our ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, okay? So the things that you don't know, you're not held accountable for, but he will tell you them in due time. Perfection. When you give your heart to Christ and you are sincere and you say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins, and you have confessed your sins, the wrongs that you've done to people, and you go to God and you confess and you say, take my life, take my heart. God takes your heart, and at that moment, you are deemed perfect, my brothers and sisters. But now you're on a journey to grow in that perfection, okay? So we want to understand that. So I'm here to tell you that you do have to be perfect, because perfection is simply obedience, okay? And we do have to obey to get to heaven. Blessed are they that do his commandments, it says in Revelation chapter 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. That means we have no right to go to heaven where the tree of life is, and they enter into the gate, into the city. So, my brothers and sisters, we have to have obedience. We have to obey God's commandments. And you're obeying God's commandments now. I don't believe there's anybody in here that's going to go rob a bank today listening to this message. I don't believe there's anybody listening to this message that plans on going to visit a Buddhist temple and bowing down to Buddha. I don't believe that. I don't believe that there's anybody here that is planning to tell a lie today. Maybe you are, but if you are, God caught you and stopped, is trying to stop you from making a big mistake. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that lie came into being for the most part to make an excuse as to why we don't need to keep the Sabbath, okay? And that lie, even in Sabbath-keeping persuasions, has come in because we don't want to hold up the standards of righteousness that are spoken of in the Bible, okay? We want to be able to have a political church and just run the church the way we want to run it, use the money the way we want to use it, have recreation the way we want to have recreation, dress the way we want to dress, rouse the crowd and appeal to their emotions the way we want to preach. Instead of just preaching the plain word of God. And it's powerful all by itself. It doesn't need me to hoop and holler for some soup and a dollar. Can we say amen? So, my brothers and sisters, it's private interpretation. The Lutherans have private interpretation. The Baptists, private interpretation. The Methodists, private interpretation. And even, yes, I'm going to say it, I'm not talking about the people, but I'm talking about the organization of Seventh-day Adventist private interpretation. I'm saying, well, what did they do? What are they teaching? Well, they accepted the Trinity. I didn't say there weren't three beings. That's not what the Trinity is. See, that's a deception they placed upon you. The Trinity means it's one being, but it can pop its head out as a Father. It can pop its head out as a Son. It can pop its head out as the Holy Spirit. That came from Roman Catholicism because it does away with Jesus' work in the sanctuary. There must be separate entities in order for the biblical atonement to take place. The Father, who is the great judge, has to sit in judgment. And the Son, in order for the plan to work, has to be able to hold out his hands that still have the marks where he was crucified. And when we ask for forgiveness, he's got to hold out his hands and say, Lord, and say, Father, my blood will cover them because they've asked for forgiveness. And what can the Father say? He holds down the gavel, forgiven, because the blood of Jesus covered you. They've got to be separate beings. One had to come down and take on human flesh to die for us. The Roman Catholic Trinity, which is the beginning of the Trinity doctrine. So anybody that says, I believe in the Trinity, you believe a Catholic doctrine. That's what that means. It has a meaning. That's like saying, okay, all right, now, you all might not follow me, but listen to this. I believe most people listening to me at this moment are not in favor with this gender confusion. And so if I was stopped by the police speeding 100 miles an hour when I was supposed to be going 55, and they come up to the car and they say, sir, you were speeding. Please give me your registration and driver's license. And when I give it to them, they go back. They come back with a ticket. They say, you need to sign this. I say, why do I need to sign this? Because you were speeding. Who was speeding? You were speeding. You mean the guy on that license? That's not me. I identify as white, and I identify as a woman. That's not me. You can't give that ticket to me because what's on that license, I don't identify as that. Now, you would say that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. We do the same thing with the Trinity. Okay? So the Trinity actually means one being. That's what it means. So we come along and we say, well, I don't identify. I use the Trinity, but I don't identify as Trinity. I don't identify as the true Trinity, but I just use the term Trinity. I'm in this human body, but I identify as a woman. I'm in this human body, but I identify as white. It's the same thing. If you accept the Trinity was created by the Roman Catholic Church, and it meant one being that popped itself out in three ways. I believe the Holy Spirit is a separate being than Jesus, the Son, the Lord, who is a separate being, and the Father, the God, the great God of all, is a separate being. They have their functions as a Godhead. The Father is supreme. He's the supreme judge, although you'll see some judgment that Jesus also does. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We follow him. We obey him. And the Holy Spirit is his and therefore representative on this earth so that we have a divine presence with us Though the Father and the Son are in heaven, brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Spirit, and he guides us into all truth, John 16:13. And so I'm here to tell you the reason why there's so many churches is that we have private interpretation, and we just interpret based on our, and I'll tell you what happened in Adventism. It was in the 50s, and two men, Barnhouse was the last name of one, and Martin was the name. We just call them Barnhouse and Martin. But they were going around, and they were writing a book called Kingdom of the Cult. Nobody wanted to be in that book, okay? And so they were going around to different churches and saying, listen, we need to know what you believe. We're writing a book about cults, and we're going to put you in our cult book unless we can understand more about what you, because what you do looks a little cultish. So they came to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they said that, and there were compromises made in the late 50s, brothers and sisters, and they brought in the Trinity because Barnhouse and Martin said, if you don't, we're going to call you a cult, okay? And they also began the process of saying that the atonement was done at the cross. That came as a result of Barnhouse and Martin not wanting it. So what that does is that does away with what happened in 1844, and that was the beginning of it, okay? There are Adventists today that no longer believe that something happened in 1844, although prophecy declares that it did, okay? Jesus had to move, just like in the Old Testament, the high priest would minister every day in the holy place, and only on the Day of Atonement would he go into the most holy place, and that was near the end of the year. What did that symbolize? I'll tell you, I'll read it to you what it symbolized. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 19. The Bible says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. What? Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This is Peter talking, and he's saying, when you get forgiven, that does not blot out your sin. He's trying to help us understand how this thing works. When you sin, there is a record of that sin. You can be forgiven, and blood can cover that sin. But the record is not blotted out until Jesus finishes his work in the most holy place. And the blotting out of sin took place in the Old Testament. After the Day of Atonement, the priest came out and he placed his head upon the scapegoat. That goat was led out into the wilderness to die. You see, Satan has to pay for the repentant sins of repentant people. Jesus paid for them. Oh, that song beautifully says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to save you. The devil knows he's got to pay it all because he tried to kill you. Okay? So the sins that we commit, they go to the heavenly record. If we ask forgiveness, they're covered by the blood. When Jesus leaves the most holy place, because he went in there, the Bible said, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay? And it tells us in that prophecy, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. That's all in Daniel 8 and 9. Daniel 8, 14 is the 2,300 days. And then it tells the beginning date in Daniel 9, I believe around verse 24. And so the bottom line, brothers and sisters, that happened in 457 B.C. There were three decrees, but the only one that restored Jerusalem, gave it government and power back, not just building its a structure, was the one in Artaxerxes in 457. And that prophecy gives us the date that Jesus, or the year anyway, that Jesus would be baptized, and he was baptized in A.D. 27. That prophecy gives us a year that he would die on the cross. It said that Messiah would be cut off at a certain time, a certain year, and Jesus died just as it said in A.D. 31. That prophecy gives us the year that the gospel would go to the Gentiles. That was A.D. 34. It started when Paul, the apostle, got his first conviction that he was wrong in persecuting Christians when in AD 34, he held the coats of the people stoning Stephen, brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus later said, "Why is it hard for you to kick against the pricks?" when he saw him on the road to Damascus. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And the Bible says that the gospel would go to the Gentiles. Therefore, in AD 34, it tells you that, friends. There was one more piece of that prophecy. It said, after 2,300 days, that's 2,300 years, the sanctuary would be cleansed. It was cleansed on earth in the Day of Atonement. That means Jesus would be our great high priest, as it says in Hebrews, and therefore he would go into the most holy place in 1844, October 22nd, to be exact, and he began the work of judgment. We're near the end of time, brothers and sisters. No, we're in the time of the end. It's just not the final end of time. But we're in the time of the end, brothers and sisters. We've been in there since 1798, okay? That's what the Bible teaches. And therefore, Jesus is coming soon. So he's going over. He had to start all the way with Adam and Eve. And he's got to go and name everybody who has claimed to be a Christian or claimed to be a follower of God. And he simply examines the record to see, were you covered by the blood? Okay? And did you overcome by the grace? In other words, he gave us a gospel. That gospel was present in the Old and New Testament. They just had some additional requirements to do because they were pointing forward to keep ever in mind the death of the cross and aspects of Christ's ministry that would follow that death. And so because of that, once he died, those commandments were done away with at the cross. Not the Ten Commandments, okay? But the commandments, the Bible says, that were contained in ordinances that pointed forward. They were a shadow of good things to come. The Sabbath was created not as a shadow. It was created as a memorial to point backward through creation, okay? So that's what happened, my friend. And I will tell you that there are, if you go to the places where you get the highest level of Adventist education, you will be taught that there's questioning now the whole 1844 prophetic line, questioning whether we need to have a different modern take on who the beast is. So my brothers and sisters, private interpretation has been accepted in every major denomination. It's unfortunate, but it is true. But guess what? I call myself a spiritual Israel. Paul said we're all spiritual Israel, so I'm a spiritual Jew. They can't take that from me. No, I wasn't born over there in Palestine, but I'm a spiritual Israelite. Guess what? I'm a Christian. Guess what? I'm a Protestant. Guess what? I'm still an Adventist. Because it was the movement that God set up, but the Jewish structure went sour. The Christian structure became Roman Catholic. It went sour. The Protestant structures, those Protestant churches, they stopped growing, and they started getting into tradition, and then God couldn't lead them as he was wanting to introduce the Sabbath to them, and so they went sour. And you're seeing the souring of Adventism. It was in Adventism, but God still has a people. It's going to be people that finish this work. When God says the church will stand and will not fall, that's not talking about an organizational structure. That's talking about people, brothers and sisters. I've got to tell you the truth, okay? And that's what it is, friends. And so God's going to have a people. They will keep the Sabbath. You're either in the end going to keep the Sabbath and have the seal of God, or you're going to keep Sunday and have the mark of the beast. That is what the Bible teaches. That is solid. I didn't make that up, friends. There's going to be a test of loyalty, a test, a final test. The devil's going to pull out all the stops in his quest to be like the Most High. And he's going to say, listen, I'm going to make sure you all worship me. Okay, and he's going to cause the United States of America, the prophecy says, to lead out. So that's why the Democrats are trying to confuse the Constitution. See, the Constitution would prohibit a Sunday law, a national Sunday law, okay? It would prohibit it because that is the establishment of a religion. We can't do that in America, right? So they've got to confuse the Constitution. So how do they confuse the Constitution? Well, the Democrats confuse the Constitution by saying if Adam wants to marry Steve instead of Eve, That's his constitutional right. That is not the constitutional right for you to fornicate. Fornication was never constitutionally a foundation within the Constitution. The whole LGBT pornographic plus movement is based on fornication. That was never the intent of the founding fathers to have fornication be in the Bill of Rights. So that's how the Democrats, if they can confuse us on the Constitution, then when it comes down to the Sunday law issue, everybody's confused as to what a right really is. If I say this is my religious right to worship on Saturday, they say, no, that's not a religious right. But what about the Republicans? Well, the insurrection on January 6th, that's just one. The insurrection on January 6th, they say, was a constitutional insurrection. There is nothing in the Constitution. The Constitution promotes a peaceful transfer of power. So Republicans are just as confused as to what the Constitution actually teaches as are the Democrats. Why Jesus said something I'm going to read to you, brothers and sisters. I'll get it just a second. Jesus said in John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Friends, we represent a higher kingdom than the political party of the United States of America. We are higher than that. We serve heaven, and we represent heaven. And so that's why I'm not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. But we have solutions to what they argue about. They're arguing about money. God has solutions to money. People aren't paying their tithe and offering, and they're embezzling and lying and stealing. That's not biblical. If they didn't do those things, we would have a better financial system here. They're arguing about race and critical race. Well, if we understood the Bible that all men are created by God and that we're all made in his image, brothers and sisters, we wouldn't have that issue, okay? We wouldn't be having to push out Black Lives Matter, and they use Black Lives Matter to bring in Gay Lives Matter. That's why I didn't march with Black Lives Matter, because I knew it was a front to bring in Gay Lives Matter. They did financial reporting, brothers and sisters, and that the money, the millions of dollars that were raised, it didn't go to the Black community. It went to the LGBT community, the Black Lives Matter movement, the F501c3. The money went to LGBT, not the Black community. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that you better wake up and make sure you're calling an election is sure. You just don't jump on a bandwagon, because the world is going straight to hell. But we can go to heaven. Can we say amen? So I'm here to tell you that's why there's so many churches. It's private interpretation. People have their own thinking and teachings, and people are not converted. That's the bottom line. And when we are converted, we would follow Jesus no matter where he leads, friends. We would follow Jesus no matter where he leads. All right, that's our topic for today. We're going to have a little break at this time and come back and hear a health message brought to us by Sister Lenny, and the topic is reasons for discarding flesh foods. Reasons for discarding flesh foods. The torso song will be what we will hear at this present time.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered, this is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And on our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
this song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
At this time, we'll hear from Sister Lenny on the subject, reasons for discarding flesh food.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Reasons for discarding flesh foods. Those who eat flesh are but eating grains and vegetables at second hand. For the animal receives from these things the nutrition that produces growth. The life that was in the grains and vegetables passes into the eater. We receive it by eating the flesh of the animal. How much better to get it direct by eating the food that God provided for our use. Flesh was never the best food, but its use is now doubly objectionable since disease in animals is so rapidly increasing. Those who use flesh foods little know what they are eating. Often, if they could see the animals when living and know the quality of the meat they eat, they would turn from it with loathing. People are continually eating flesh that is filled with tuberculosis and cancerous germs. Tuberculosis, cancer, and other fatal diseases are thus communicated. The tissues of the swine swarm with parasites. Of the swine, God said, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Deuteronomy 14:8. This command was given because swine's flesh is unfit for food. Swine are scavengers, and this is the only use they were intended to serve. Never, under any circumstances, was their flesh to be eaten by human beings. It is impossible for the flesh of any living creature to be wholesome. When filth is its natural element and when it feeds upon every detestable thing. The effects of a flesh diet may not be immediately realized, but this is no evidence that it is not harmful. Few can be made to believe that it is the meat they have eaten which has poisoned their blood and caused their suffering. Many die of diseases wholly due to meat eating, while the real cause is not suspected by themselves or by others. The moral evils of a flesh diet are not less marked than are the physical ills. Flesh food is injurious to health, and whatever affects the body has a corresponding effect on the mind and the soul. Think of the cruelty to animals that meat eating involves, and its effect on those who inflict and those who behold it. How it destroys the tenderness which God should regard these creatures. This health segment this morning was given from the Ministry of Healing, page 130 to 131. Thank you so much, and may you be blessed today as you go through this day knowing that God desires us to be healthy. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we want to start with Facebook. We want to say to Brother Peyton, who says, good morning, Pastor Stella and Sister Maria. God bless you both today. God bless you, brother. We've got a good morning, friends, from Salida. Praise the Lord. And so that represents North Carolina. That represents Virginia. And we've got South Carolina also on the line with Sister Alyssa. So we're going to the phones at this time, and we have Pleasant Surprise. We have, I'll get to that in a moment, but we have our dear sister in Ohio. And the Pleasant Surprise is we have Alabama represented. That means our dear Sister Cabin on the island of Bermuda has returned home. Now, she might call Bermuda her home, but we call America her home. We're going to claim her. So she's back. Thank you, sister, for being with us today. Then we have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware again. Then we have Ohio. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. And we have Missouri. And we're your servants here in Pennsylvania. Phone lines are open. Press star 6 if you'd like to share anything. We'd love to engage with you at this time. I want to mention that we're going to begin again to publicly mention our day of fasting and prayer. That is Wednesday. We don't specify any particular fast. You can skip a meal, eat less, skip two meals, drink water, drink juice. But it's a good day to fast midweek and take in less food in some way and spend more time in prayer. It will be a blessing to you, my friends. So God is good. So Wednesday, our day of fasting and prayer. Some of you have been doing it. Some of us have been doing it. We just haven't been mentioning it. It's a good thing to do once a week at least. And so we're calling it Wednesday, our day of fasting and prayer. All right, my brothers and sisters, is there anyone that would like to share anything at this time? All right. Well, God is good. We thank you all for prayers for our family. And my wife and mother are listening to the broadcast. And so we thank you for the prayers that you've been sending. We thank you for that. God is good. All right. We do have a couple callers that just pressed star 6. So we will take those calls at this time. All right. We're going to start with Sister Cabin. Welcome back, Sister Cabin.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thanks to everyone for their prayers and concern for this trip that I took with to be with my mom. And I left her in good spirits, good health, and continue to keep us in prayer. God bless each one to have a beautiful day today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We've got our mother in Israel. We're going to go ahead and take her call, Mother Harriet. Good morning, Mother Harriet. God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor, and everyone on the line, and to that dear sister who went to spend some time with her mom, who thinks she's 100 or 101. That's a special blessing. I was reading a book that a brother wrote some time back. His name is Fred Kinsley, and he put stress on everyone, every Christian, that is a Sabbath-keeping Christian mostly, to go back and read the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul wrote. And I can tell you, God's word is so sweet, and we can never exhaust the blessing and the information that is written there by Paul the Apostle. I start reading that book again. And there is always new truth in God's word. We have so much blessing to receive. And I started reading that book again, and God has been blessing me. And it's so lovely. And I'm encouraging everyone who can go back and read that book again. God is going to bless you, and it's going to be sweeter and sweeter. And also, I've been a vegetarian for 30-odd years, but I suffer from bloating. At one time, I thought I had a leaky gut problem. I'm not sure if I don't, but I was looking at a podcast on TV, and I see this doctor, so-called doctor, I don't know for sure because some fake it. He is recommending that people should take this BioComplete 3. I don't know if you've heard about it, Pastor.
Not really. I don't know that I have.
It's probiotic plus prebiotic, okay. He says.
Well, I have heard of that, and sometimes that does help some people with digestive problems. Probiotics, prebiotics, and then also taking enzymes often helps as well.
But you've never heard of this BioComplete 3?
No, not that brand.
He said he doesn't believe in Big Pharma, so this is specially ordered in small batches. Anyhow, that's that.
Yeah, I would just say that if you're going to get a probiotic, prebiotic, whatever, that it should be plant-based. So decide to do it. Find out if it's plant-based.
Do you know of any special brand that is plant-based?
No, I don't know of any. Definitely we can look up some. I'm not like favorable to a particular brand, but I do know that they're out there. So if you type in, like if your daughters or whatever go to Amazon and type in probiotic, maybe even prebiotic, I don't know, but vegan or plant-based, there's definitely some out there. But if you want me to make a recommendation, and I can definitely do that and text it to you.
I will be so blessed. Thank you. God be with you and bless your ministry and bless your dear wife and mother. And have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day as well. Praise the Lord. All right, friends. Well, thank you all very much for joining us today. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your prayers. Let's continue to pray for one another. Thank you for your prayers for our family. We appreciate them. God is so good. He has lent each of us to each other for a period of time. And he knows when our work is about to be done, and we can rest in the fact that he loves us more, and our loved ones more than even we do. May God bless you. We're going to turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to close us out with prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. And now, Lord, as we go about our day, we ask that your spirit will continue to guide us, lead, direct, and instruct us. And Father, we do pray for each soul in the line, that you would bless every heart in a special way. Give us those petitions that we silently keep before you, Lord, because we know you're working everything out in accordance with your perfect will and plan. We ask that you will help us to continue to be faithful to you as we draw close and make your word real clear to us, Lord, so we'll be able to understand it and to share it with others. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, the eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die, I will trust in the Lord. Lord, I will worship.